The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So we are going to talk about the sanctity of life, but what I want to kind of key in on is the idea that you were made in God's image. You were made in the image of God. And while that seems so simple, that seems so ordinary, that seems so, well, yeah, I didn't have to come to church to hear that. You're right, you didn't. But you're here, so you might as well enjoy being here now. And we're going to look a little bit more at this idea of what it means to be made in the image of God. The first, I'm trying to go slow for you, boss. I'm sorry, man. If I go fast, just let me know. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The first thing I want you just to know this morning is that you were made in the image of God. Now that seems so, again, interesting, just like simple, right? Until you look at the phrase "in the image and likeness of God." And then you have to kind of go back and you have to look at what does that phrase, what does that mean to be made in the image of God? And a couple things that the word "image" and "likeness" that were found there in the scripture mean. It means that they're the model, the shape, similitude, they resemble, represent. As a human life, you were made to model, to represent, to resemble God. Now, that's the only place in Scripture where you find made in God's image, in his likeness, was in the creation account, and in the creation of humanity specifically. So as a human this morning, as a person, you are made in God's image, and that makes you special. That makes you unique. That makes you different from all other creation. Because you were made in the image of God, you were made to resemble and be his representative. If you go into Ecclesiastes, and Mandy talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how everything has been made beautiful in its own time, but it also says this at the second part of that verse, he has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Do you know that humanity is the only, and listen, if you have to like cover your kids' ears, I'm sorry. Humanity is the only one who can conceive eternity. My favorite dog was named Murphy, and somewhere inside, like, I want to believe that Murphy's in heaven. I don't really know. But this is what I do know, is that humanity is the only thing that can grasp eternity. That's what Solomon says in that verse in Ecclesiastes. He says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of men, meaning that you and I are the only thing in all creation that can conceive this idea of eternity. You and I are different. You're special because you can conceive what it means to have a relationship with God. To understand, to realize that there is something outside of us. You're the only thing that conceive that. Anybody ever left their dog? You got to stay with your dogs a lot. All right. Anybody ever left their dog at home and come back? Okay, what happens when you come back? Dog goes crazy, right? No concept of time. I've literally have walked out the door to go to the mailbox to come back in, and my dog thinks I've been gone for like ages and like licking me and going crazy. I don't have a dog anymore, but like my old dog. But you know, like, they don't conceive time. This idea of time and those things don't matter to animals. Animals don't get it. Only humanity is blessed with that. Only humanity is able to conceive those things. It tells us that you and I are different. We're special. Because you were created in the likeness, the image of God, you're special. You're different. You're different from all other creation because of those things. Also in Romans chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 15, they demonstrate that God's law is written on their hearts for their own conscience and thoughts. Either accuse them or tell them they're doing right. And it wasn't until this past year, but have you ever had a conversation with somebody who didn't believe in God? Just refused. Like, they call them agnostics or atheist. They say God doesn't exist, those different things. I love to ask that person this question. So is there a right and wrong? If there is no God and there is no moral absolute, there is no judge, there is no overall thing, then that means that there is no right and wrong. So if that's the case, then give me your wallet. They never give me their wallet. But if you think about it, God has set a moral compass inside of all of us. There are things that as a society, as humanity, we know are wrong, right? It's just there. It's not because it's in the Ten Commandments. It's not because it's on the law book someplace in some county or some country or in Washington, D.C. It's because it's what's inside of us. You were born with this feeling that this is right, that this is wrong, that there is a right and a wrong, and that there is a moral absolute. What Paul tells us in Romans is that's because you were given the gift of God's law being written on your heart. That means that you understand right and wrong. You're the only thing that understands that. Yes, you can take animals to obedience school. You can teach them different things, and you can teach a horse to drink water from a well or something like that. But there's not this inerrantness inside them that they know. It's just there from birth. It's there from creation. Because only humanity experiences that. Only humanity is created in God's image. And therefore, only humanity is special and different and able to resemble or represent God. Nothing else in all of creation can represent or resemble God. Hang on to that, because we're going to come back to it in just a second. You were made to reflect or represent God, but you were not made to be like God. Again, that seems so simple. When you read in Genesis chapter 3, it's the fall of man. Verses 4 through 5, it says this, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now, before we go any further, what's the lie here? You guys have read this, I'm sure, 100 times, and you've been in church for a long time, and so we've all are familiar enough with this account, but what's the lie? At first, you would say probably that you will die, right? I loved when I used to do student ministry, and students always, like, they're like, "They didn't die, so God's a liar." Well, that seems like the lie at first. But the real lie is this. The real lie is that you can be like God without God. See, it's not possible. What he tests Eve with is this. If you eat of this, you will be like God. Now, she was already like God because she was made in his image, in his likeness. She already had that. But this went around the backside. This went outside of what God had planned. And so what Eve was trying to do and what Satan convinced her was possible is that you and I can be like God without God. It's the lie that still we believe a lot of times, right? The reason abortion is prevalent is because we can play God. I get to determine life. Life is my choice. It's the idea that you are God. But you were made in God's image to represent him, to reflect him, but you were never made to be like him, to have that. That's unique to him. That's different. However, our image was distorted when we believed that being like God meant we no longer needed God. When we believed that lie, it changed, and we were no longer just strictly made in the image of God, but now we've been affected by this thing called sin, and you all know that, but now it changes how our image is. Sin has marred our image to where we're no longer made strictly in the image of God. If you don't believe me, keep reading in Genesis chapter 5. This is how chapter 5 starts out, verses 1 through 3. This is the book of Adam. When God created man, he made him in his likeness, in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Now when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Did y'all ever notice that switch there? When it's recounting Adam's story, it says that Adam was made in the image and the likeness of God. His son, however, it says that he was made in his own image and the likeness of man. See, what happened when sin entered the world, when Eve chose to believe the lie, is that all of our images got distorted. It got marred. It got disfigured. Have you ever, like, looked at, if you only got, and some of y'all look really good this morning, I appreciate y'all putting on your best, but have you ever, like, thought about this? If you only got ready and a lake was your mirror, would you look as good as you look? I would love to, this needs to be a game someplace. Somebody needs to do this. We need to get like a pond and let you put makeup on with just the pond as your guide. Probably wouldn't work out that good, would it? Because your image has been distorted. When that pond water would move, when that lake water would move, it would distort the image. And so where lipstick would start to go here, it would kind of start to creep up here maybe a little bit. Or guys, try and shave into something that's constantly moving. When your image is distorted, it's hard to do what you're trying to do. As humanity, it's hard for us to reflect, to represent God, because sin has distorted our image. It's marred. It's made what was clear no longer clear. The good news, though, is that we were made with the knowledge of God so that we could better reflect him. The hard part is we've traded that for a poor imitation. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23 say this: for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Now I'm going to stop there for just a second, because these are some of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture. What that says is that creation all around us points to Christ, points to God. So that men are without excuse. There is no excuse that you can say, oh, well, I didn't know, because all of creation points you in the right direction. Jesus talks about in the Gospels that if the people become quiet from praising him, the rocks will cry out for him. It's this idea that all of creation points to God. Everything points to God, so that men are without excuse. So that humanity is without excuse, because everything in life points back to Christ, points back to God. He keeps going in Romans, though, and he says this: for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. It's one of the saddest passages in all of Scripture. Because it tells us that you and I were created with this knowledge of God. We can comprehend him. We can grasp what it means to live forever. We can grasp eternity. We can grasp what it means to have a relationship with the Almighty God. But we've traded it for cheap things that we can conceive. We've traded it for things that resemble us. that make me feel like I'm smart, like I'm wise, like I've got it figured out. That passage is so sad because it tells me that there is a world around us that's so close. Man, they're so close. They have the knowledge that they understand, they see all of creation points to him, and they're right there. But they just don't get it. They miss it by that much. Because we've traded in the image of God for something that we can conceive, that we're okay with, that I like, but the sad thing is we're still believing the lie. All the way back over in Genesis, Satan got Eve with a lie that we still believe today, that we can be like God without God. We've tried our best to replace him with things that look like us, that make us feel good. We've tried to replace God with anything and everything except for him. And today we're still believing that lie. There is good news in all of this, though, and that's that through Christ, God's image is restored. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. What sin once marred, Christ is now restored. Now we are given the opportunity to reflect God the way that we were intended to from the very beginning. See, you and I were created to resemble, to reflect, to represent God. Sin comes in, destroys that, mars it, makes it complicated, messy, and different. And then Christ comes in and restores what you and I have always been supposed to do. Because now we can reflect God. Now humanity, you and I, can reflect our Creator. But it's because of what Christ did on the cross. Because as we start to become more and more like Christ, we start to reflect Christ, who is the exact representation of God. Because of what Christ did on the cross, because of the life that he lived, it now offers you and I the blessing to be able to reflect God, something that we were created to do in the very beginning. For those of us with the Holy Spirit in us, those of us who are followers of Christ, those of us who are Christians, we are being remade into the image of Christ, who is in the image of God. So now as we become more and more like Christ, we fulfill our intended purpose to reflect, to represent God. As a follower of Christ, our calling is to be a part of restoring the image of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off your old self with its practices. You've put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. There is no Jew, Greek, no Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Being a part of restoring the image of God means that you and I view all life as supremely important. All life is important because all life has the opportunity to reflect God. We are called now to not only reflect God, but to be a part of restoring the importance that God placed on life. And I'm going to just try and wrap this up as best I can. This morning, you are important. You are valuable. Your life matters. And I know this is sanctity of life, and like Miss Amy said, you know, the focus of these days is on abortion and the unborn baby, but what I need to tell you is that your life is important. You are special. You are unique. You have been given the ability to reflect, to represent God. Some of y'all need to hear that this morning. Because you don't necessarily view your life as important. See, I told you, I think there is a lie that we believe about what Satan tells us, and Satan tells us that the truth is we can be like God without being God. But I think there's another lie that has crept in, and this lie is almost more dangerous. Because what Satan's done is he's made you and I believe that our life isn't important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter how I live. Some of you have even said, it doesn't matter if I live or I die. And in the process of devaluing our life, what happens is, well, I don't care about unborn babies. I don't care about the elderly. I don't care about anybody else, because if my life doesn't matter, then neither does anybody else's. And the second lie I think that Satan has done a great job of convincing Christians of is that our life doesn't matter. Because if our life doesn't matter, then our view of other life diminishes. So this morning, some of you need to understand your life matters. You have been made in the image of God to reflect Him, and you are the only creation that can. Some of you this morning have seen too much of the marring side of things, and you don't get how anything that's in this mess can reflect God. Because not just Eve's sin, but my sin has piled on top of me and piled on top of me and piled on top of me, and I don't even think you could see a sliver of God in my life. This morning, there's good news for you. Because Christ came, He took all the weight of that sin off of you, He played it on Himself, and now all you have to do is believe in what He did on the cross for your salvation. And then as you reflect Him, you end up reflecting God, which is what you were created to do from the beginning. Some of you this morning need to hear that because life is important, we need to care for. We need to reach out to those who are hurting. Those who are considering, that unborn child matters. Because all life is sacred. All life is special. Because all life is given the opportunity to reflect the Creator. If you go back to one of the very first things that you filled in your notes there, humanity is called to represent and reflect. Church, how are we representing our Creator? Are we doing a good job, bad job? I don't know. But I know that it's part of our calling to represent our Creator. I hope this morning that you will realize the importance of your life. Because your life is important, you will care about the importance of other lives. And as a church, that we will go about restoring the importance of life in our world today, because we are called to reflect and to represent God to all of humanity. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for today. God, we thank you for sanctity of life. Father, that all life is holy. All life is special and of supreme importance. God, we pray that this morning, somebody in this room needs to know that, God, their life matters. Father, they've believed the lie that Satan tells us that life doesn't matter. It's not important. They're not important. But God, this morning, I pray that they've heard your word. You've spoke to them and let them know that they are important. That their life is of supreme importance to you. Because in their life is an opportunity to reflect and represent you. Father, I pray for those of us this morning who have, Father, we've stepped away. We've kind of gotten off on a track, and Lord, we didn't realize just how big of a process it is and how large of a calling it is to reflect, to represent you. Lord, I pray this morning that as a church, as a whole, we would renew ourselves to the commitment of restoring your image in the world. The God, humanity that's around us would see a clearer picture of you because of your followers rightly resembling you. God, we love you. We thank you for this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you would just do and move as only you can today. Father, that we would do business with you during this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.